Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a VHS Rave Stab in Ableton Live 12 and routing it like a proper DJ tool for jungle and old school DNB vibes. Now, a stab like this is more than just a cool sound. In drum and bass, especially jungle flavored stuff, a good stab can carry tension, identity, and movement all by itself. It can answer the break, poke through the bass line, and help you move from intro to drop without needing a giant arrangement trick. Think of it like percussion with harmony built in. It should hit fast, feel memorable, and leave space for the drums to keep driving. So the first move is to start with a clean MIDI track and load a synth that gives you a sharp, rave-friendly tone. Wave-eatable, analog, or operator all work well here. If you want the classic feel, go for saw-based energy, a little detune, and a short envelope. The important thing is that it behaves like a stab, not a pad. Keep the attack basically instant, the decay fairly short, the sustain all the way down, and the release tight enough that it doesn't smear into the next hit. Now write a short phrase, usually 2 to 4 notes. Don't overcomplicate it. Old school jungle stabs often work best when they feel slightly unresolved, moody, or modal. Try a minor chord fragment or just root, minor third, and fifth. You're aiming for something that sounds like a rave memory, not a polished pop chord. If you're working in a minor, for example, hits around A, C, and E can already get you a long way. Place the notes in a way that feels skippy and rhythmic. A hit on beat 2, or on the end of 3, can instantly give you that broken, dance-floor push. And here's a teacher tip. Treat the stab like percussion first, harmony second. In jungle and DNB, the rhythm of where it lands can matter even more than the exact chord quality. If it locks with a snare pattern or tees up a break edit, it'll feel way more convincing than a pretty chord that lands in the wrong place. Once you've got the core idea, render it into audio. You can freeze and flatten the track, or record it onto a new audio track. This is a big move, because audio gives you more control for chopping, reversing, trimming, and making DJ-style edits. DNB arrangements move fast, and audio lets you treat the stab like a sample from a record rather than a fixed synth note. After rendering, trim the clip tightly. Clean transient, minimal tail. If there's any muddy sustain hanging around, cut it. Now let's build the main processing chain. On the stab track, add EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and utility. You can add chorus ensemble or phaser flanger later if the sound needs more worn tape width, but don't start by softening the attack too much. First, use EQ8 to keep the stab out of the subzone. Usually you'll want to high pass it somewhere above 120 to 180 Hz, sometimes even higher, if the bass line is busy. The goal is simple. The kick and sub should own the bottom. The stab lives above that. If the upper mids are harsh, dip a little around 3 to 5 kHz. If it needs more presence, a gentle boost somewhere around 1.5 to 4 kHz can help it cut through the drums. Then add saturator for grit. Just a few dB of drive can give the stab that gritty, tape-battered energy. If it starts getting spiky, soft clip can smooth it out a bit. You want character, not pain. This is old-school jungle, not a hi-fi showroom demo. Next, auto filter gives you the classic intruder drop movement. Start darker, with a cutoff lower, then automate it open as the track progresses. In an intro, you might keep it band-passed or high-passed so it feels mysterious. Then, when the drop approaches, open it up so the stab feels brighter and more aggressive. That contrast is huge. A restrained version earlier in the tune makes the full version land much harder later. Utility is there to keep the stereo image under control. Don't go too wide, especially if the low mids are thick. You can widen it a little if the sound still stays mono-safe, but in drum and bass, clarity beats size almost every time. If the stab gets too wide, it can blur the groove and fight the mix. Now group those devices into an audio effect rack. This is where the stab turns into a real performance tool. Map your macros to useful performance parameters. For example, map 1 macro to filter cutoff, 1 to resonance, 1 to saturation drive, 1 to width, 1 to delay wet or send amount, 1 to reverb wet or size, 1 to lo-fi color if you're using Redux, and 1 to output gain. This is the part that makes the stab feel like a DJ tool instead of just a sound design exercise. You can automate the macros like queuing on turntables. Open it, flick it, choke it, release it. That performance mindset really helps when you're arranging jungle and DNB, because the best moments often feel like somebody is riding the track live, even if it's all programmed. If you want that VHS rave flavor to lean more authentic, add Redux carefully. Just a touch, a bit of downsampling, a little bit of bit reduction, and blend it with the dry sound. The idea is warn cassette energy, not digital mush. Use it mainly on transition bars or on the last hit of a phrase, if you want that tape-degrading kind of drama. For space, use return tracks instead of drowning the main sound in reverb. Set up one short dub delay return and one dark reverb return. Keep the delay times musical, like 1/8, dotted 1/8, or 1/16 depending on the groove. Feedback should stay controlled, somewhere around 15-35%. For reverb, keep it relatively short and dark, with low cut and high cut so it doesn't wash over the entire mix. In DNB, you usually want space in the arrangement, not a giant cloud swallowing the groove. A really effective move is to automate a delay throw on just the last hit of a phrase. That one move can make the stab feel huge without cluttering the full section. It's a classic call and response trick. The stab answers the drums, then disappears just long enough to let the next section breathe. Now let's make the stab more playable by chopping it. If you've got it as audio, you can duplicate it, reverse the tail for a pre-hit suck-in, or offset a copy by a 16th note to create a tiny phim. You can also cut it so only the first 100 to 250 milliseconds remain. That gives you a tighter, more percussive hit. Another great trick is to make one full stab and one filtered ghost stab, then alternate them over a two-bar phrase. That creates movement without needing a whole new sound. If you want even more control, load the audio into simpler and tri-slice mode. That lets one stab become multiple trigger points. Very handy if you want to build a little live-feeling chop pattern out of a single sound. And if you want a bit of extra tension, put a tiny reversed cymbal or a short noise burst right before the stab. That gives the ear a clue that something is about to land. Now the big thing. Automation. This is what separates a static stab from a proper arrangement device. Automate filter cutoff over 4 or 8 bars. Increase reverb send only on the final hit. Let saturation rise a bit during the build. Narrow the width before the drop, then open it on impact. You can even automate a low pass close down for a tape dying kind of feel, before a switch up. Here's a simple arrangement shape you can use. In bars 1 to 8, keep the stab filtered and tucked behind the breaks. In bars 9 to 16, open it up, widen it a little, and add a delay throw on the final hit. Then when the drop lands, bring it back just briefly as a response to the snare fill. In the breakdown, low pass it harder and maybe add a touch more redux for that VHS flavor. Then in the outro, strip it back again so the track stays DJ friendly. And that's the mindset here. The stab is not just a sound. It's a transition device, a memory hook, and a tension builder. It should help guide the listener through the track while still leaving room for the kick, the snare, and especially the sub. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't let the stab fight the sub. High pass it properly. Second, don't make it too wide, especially in the low mids. Third, don't overdo reverb. DNB needs punch. Fourth, don't leave the envelope too long or the stab stops beating a stab. And fifth, don't forget that this should work like a DJ tool. Think in 8-bar and 16-bar blocks, not just isolated sound design. If you want to push it further, try making two versions of the same stab. One darker, narrower, and more worn for the intro, and one brighter, wider, and more aggressive for the drop. That contrast is incredibly powerful. You can also create a ghost stab version by duplicating it, lowering the volume a lot, and low passing it. Or build a call and response pair where one stab is dry and punchy, and the other is delayed and degraded. That kind of contrast keeps the arrangement moving. A final tip. Check the stab against the drum loop at low volume. If you can still hear its shape and attitude quietly, it's probably strong enough. And make sure the transient is readable. If it's smeared, it loses the whole DJ tool quality. Keep it sharp, for practice. Build two versions of the stab, a dark intro version and a brighter drop version. Place them in an 8-bar loop with a breakbeat and a simple sub. Then automate one delay throw on the last bar. If it feels like it can carry the intro, punctuate the drop, and still stay out of the bass's way, you've nailed it. So remember the formula. Short rave style source, tight envelope, audio rendering for control, careful EQ and saturation, rack macros for movement, send effects for space, and automation for arrangement power. That's how you route a VHS rave stab in Ableton Live 12 and turn it into a real old-school jungle DNB weapon.